That's a good song. I like that. We just sang that chorus real quick, but that is a good song. Colossians, church, please turn to Colossians, and if you allow me, I'll pray one more time, and we'll be seated, all right? Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. Teach us now and help us as we come to you, Lord, to learn from you. Spirit of God, clear my mind, my thoughts, my opinions, all that, Lord, may I be emptied of myself right now, Lord, that you would teach through me. And God, may it be your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Colossians, please, chapter 3. Colossians 3. As you're turning to Colossians, would you also go to Ephesians, please, and mark that, Ephesians 5. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. This is a parallel passage of what we've been learning, and I'm going to reference that tonight as well. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. And what we've seen in chapter 3 of Colossians, now we've seen the Spirit-filled life, mortifying the deeds of the flesh. We empty ourselves, we put our flesh, we put our feelings, our emotions, our wants, our desires aside and say, God, you teach me, your Spirit has the way. We put on, what do we learn? We put on the new man like we would put on a coat. We take off the flesh and take off the coat and put on another coat and choose to do it God's way and to put on the new man and to walk in the Spirit. You got to choose that. And I've tried to make it a habit in my life as a daily time of prayer with the Lord and say, Lord, help me take a moment and everything I want is not necessarily right and good for me. Empty me, Lord. Empty me out. And may I be surrendered and sensitive to the Spirit as you lead me today. I believe we all ought to do that. And that's what he's talking about here in chapter 3 with putting on the new man. And he doesn't say the words walk in the Spirit, but it's the same idea here. It's the same mentality of mortifying the members, mortifying, dying to yourself, and choosing that new man, that we've been made into. We're renewed day by day by the inward man, by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians says, teaching us from the inside. Amen? Listen now, you have a convert in Christ, you win somebody to Christ, you can't change them. You can try. You can dress them up different, and you can tell them, well, you're going to look like this, and you're going to start speaking like this, and you're going to sound like this. But unless God's working on the inside, you haven't done anything. You have not. You led them to Christ, but you can't make them holy and change their life. That's the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care how long a pastor stands up here and preaches the same thing till he's blue in the face. It's not his words that's doing anything. It's the Spirit of God in each of us. And as I need to be led of the Spirit, so do the next guy and the next guy and all of us. We need to. And we need to be filled and led by the Spirit of God. And so, tonight, I'm going to go back to where we were last week for a moment. God's not done with that yet. I don't believe in our study. You say, what do you mean? Like the first verse that we dealt with last week? You mean like Colossians 3:18? I mean, yes. But 18 and 19. Let's read them together, okay? I'll read, and you follow along, please. Colossians 3, 18 and 19. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Now, you read that, you introduce that, and all of a sudden everybody in the congregation goes, we're going to talk about this. Last week, I mean, usually you all respond pretty well during preaching. I mean, you amen, you're excited, you're at least smiling a little bit. And last week, I'm preaching on verse 18, verse 19, and it was like, it was quiet in here. Nobody was amening. It was dead. You know, what? We come to this passage. We say, yeah, we believe the Bible, and yes, I want to follow the Lord, and I want to do right. And we get to these verses, and it's like, Do we have to learn about that one? We got to talk about that one? So, honestly, church, marriage is a wonderful thing. Let me stop and say this. You ought to desire a marriage that is enjoyable. So many people are married and they're just roommates. You understand what I'm saying? They're just roommates. We live together, but she's got her space and I got my space, and hopefully we don't have to talk this week. Have you not seen marriages like that? I've seen them. But that's not the way God intended it. Do you understand? God made Adam, and he had a relationship with Adam, and he came down and walked with him in the garden, and they enjoyed that relationship. And the very next thing he did in relationships, he gave Adam a wife. Marriage is the most important relationship on the earth. You understand that? Amen. We ought to start recognizing that. Before he made Israel, before he made the church, before he made all those things, he gave Adam a wife. And he said, two are going to be one flesh. Why wouldn't we desire and seek to enjoy that? And we come to some instructions in the Word of God and we're scared about them. Honestly. When's the last time a husband and wife even looked at the book of Song of Solomon? Some basic instruction for marriage couples. I mean, that book is so rich and full of just spiritual truth, emotional truth, and physical truth. I mean, all of that for married people. And yes, it's a wonderful picture of Christ and the church because God told us about that in Ephesians 5. But it is definitely on marriage. And then we come to these verses in Colossians chapter 3 or Ephesians chapter 5, and we're like, yeah, let's just read over those real fast. And we get uncomfortable. Again, the Spirit-filled life, or putting on the new man that God wants us to, he teaching us now as we've done that, again, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as we've put on the new man and we're in the Word of God and we're following the Lord, we can have these relationships that God told us to have and gave us. We can have these relationships and do them right and do them well. We can. Did you know that parents and children, even the teenagers, can have great relationships and do right and enjoy one another and it's not a big fight all the time? Do you know that's possible? That is possible. Now you say, well, you know, Adeline's 13, right? You only got one. Just wait a minute. Just wait for the rest. And I understand that, but I do know that the Lord is right and His Word is true. And it is possible to have a good home and a loving home and to enjoy one another. We come to these two, and I know it's we look at it in our fleshly mind and we say, man, the wife, she's got to submit, and the husband, all he's got to do is love. Where's the balance there, Pastor John? But if you look over in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to get there in just a minute, there's a lot of scripture around the husband's part. And there's a whole lot more responsibility than the husband's most of the time that we even acknowledge and recognize in the scripture. And I want to show you that in a moment. But first of all, when he brings the wives out first, he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Why? Why is submission necessary? You know, I said last week that the Lord Jesus submitted to the Father and the Holy Spirit would then submit under that. But why is it necessary and when did it come about? Did you know that when they were created, Eve was not told to submit to Adam? When she was, when the rib was taken out of Adam and Eve was made, the order of submission was not told right then. It was later. Go back with me to real quick to Genesis chapter 3. Would you go back there? When I say Genesis 3, most of you know where we're going. We're talking about when sin entered the world. In Genesis chapter 3, It starts off talking about the serpent and how he was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he started talking to Eve and tempted Eve, and she took of the fruit, and then she gave to her husband and all that. And then God comes, and he has to deliver some consequences, because God is just like he's loving. And when God says there are consequences to sin, he's going to do that. He's going to come through on that. He doesn't lie. He doesn't bend. He doesn't look at one person and say, well, I like you a little bit better than this other person, so I'm going to bend the rules. God doesn't do that. He's perfect. And so when he comes with consequences here. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, he comes to the serpent and gives some consequences. And he says, you're going to be cursed. You're going to crawl on your belly, and the woman's going to hate you. And he gives us verse 15, which is a wonderful verse, giving that hope of that the seed of the woman is going to bruise his head, is going to have victory over him. All right, and then verse 16. Look at verse 16, if you would. Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And watch this. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. It was a consequence of sin that submission was brought in, and that the husband would be the head of the home. Catch that? And that's interesting. It's very interesting. But Jesus Christ is perfect, and he submitted to the Father. He recognized that even in perfection. But here God lays out that the wife would submit to the husband and he would rule over her. He didn't say your husband is smarter than you. He didn't say that your husband can do all these things that you can't do. He didn't say all that. He said he's going to rule over you. And he just put her in a place, a role in the marriage that was differing than his. Okay? And so that's when submission came to be. But why is it necessary? Why is that? I want you to think for a moment, if there was two pastors of this church. Let's just say that there was co-pastors. Have you ever met two men even as much as like? I mean, I like Brother Gaylor a lot. I mean, Brother Gaylor is a pretty good guy. Okay, and you know, his spirit and the things that he's all into, I kind of gel with that. I mean, I understand. He knows how to work with his hands. I like that. Businessman, all that such. And he's got a farm, and I like all that. Okay, but you know, Brother Gaylor and I, we're not going to agree on everything. There's no way. I mean, first of all, he lives on the other side of the river. Okay, I got to side with you there, John. I mean, we were talking about this the other night, and I know he likes it that way, but I don't like it that way. So. Okay, he's on the other side of the river. We're not going to agree on everything. You understand that? But he's a good man. I believe I'm a good man. We're both trying to go forward, but we're not going to agree on every little thing. Now, imagine if there's two pastors of the church. There's co-pastors. There's a church that we work with up in New Jersey. It's that way. Father and son. The father is 80 years old. He's still pastoring the church. He started the church. His son is in his 50s, and he's the co-pastor. Why? Because he knows he needs that. The father knows he needs that. Okay? And I believe one preaches, am I right here? One preaches Sunday morning, the other preaches Sunday night, and then they like flip it or whatever. And they help one another. Okay? But both men are never going to always agree on the same thing. And I know, without even asking, that the son in that situation submits to his father. If there's a difference there, you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference there. Daddy gets the lead. It has to be that way. It has to be that way. And God gives roles on purpose. And we understand those things. Again, my wife and I am not smarter than her. She can run circles around me, especially when we're talking about English, okay? I am not good with English. And she checks all my work, and she's good with all that. She'll run circles around me. She does so well in our home and things, and I come in and mess it all up, okay? And she does so, you understand that. But God told her to submit. I want you to go with me to Ephesians now. I hope I'm asking that you mark that. Go over there to Ephesians. God told the wife to submit, and he told the husband to love. Now, we could talk about submission for a long time. We know what it means. We know what it says. That's what God said that a wife was supposed to do. It actually says in Ephesians, I want to show you here in Ephesians what it says. But if you would, look with me in Ephesians 5. Verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always." Okay, the Spirit-filled life here. Then verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." First of all, before he even deals with the husband and wife, he says we ought to submit to one another. Doesn't the Bible say something very specifically, and I don't even remember the reference right now, but it says preferring one another. Doesn't it say that? It says that. It's one of the books of Paul, that Paul wrote, one of the epistles, preferring one another. Why is that? That means that Brother Ed Urish and I have an opinion, have a preference, and we come together and we're together, whatever, maybe it's where we're going to go eat. I don't know. We like to eat, okay? We're going to go eat somewhere. He's got a preference. I got a preference. You know what I should do? I should say, no, Ed, let's go your way, preferring one another. Let him take the lead. That's what the Bible's talking about, submitting to one another. That why do we got to dig our heels in and say, well, bless God, this is the way I like it, and this is the way I'm going to do it. No, wait a minute. Submitting to one another. Get our pride out of here and working together with people. That's still a right thing and a good thing. Well, yeah, but I'm the authority. Okay, well, there's a difference when there's an authority and you have to make a decision and different things like that. But it's okay to prefer one another. And it's also, let me just say this real quick. It's also okay when one is given authority in a position in a certain spot that the higher ranking person, if I can say it that way, forgive me for saying it that way. Let me use a pastoral staff for example. I am the pastor of this church. I will answer to the Lord for this church, and what goes on is I'm the pastor. Bible says I'll give an account. Hebrews chapter 13. I will give an account for my time. But I have asked certain men to oversee certain areas of the ministry. Let me take Brother Hunter Kidwell for a minute. Let me take Brother Kidwell. I've asked him to oversee the youth and the bus ministry. Okay, other things too, but those are two primary things. I called him on the phone today asking about some calendar things. We've been doing some calendar planning. We've been trying to get schedule people for the next few years coming in and who's going to speak and all these things. I asked Brother Kidwell to be over the youth. You know that in the fall we have a teen revival, back to school revival, that kind of thing. And we've been calling all kinds of different people. And I had somebody that I wanted to bring in that got back with me, okay? And talking to him while I was driving today, and I called Brother Kidwell, and I said, this is what's possible here. I want to make sure that you didn't have somebody else in here and that we're good with these dates. I said, well, you didn't need to do that. You're the pastor. Just say it. But I put him in a role for a purpose. You follow me with that? And if I gave him authority, then I should allow him to have that authority. You with me? I gave him that authority. You say, well, he was here before you. Yes, I know. But as I'm the pastor, I could fire him, but I like him. Okay? So I gave him that authority, and I need to allow him to operate in that authority. We just had missions conference. We have a missions director. But I'm the pastor, and bless God, I needed to have it this way. Yeah, I'm going to tell him what I want on certain things, but I'm allowing him to have his what he likes and allow him to work, given some authority. Amen. The same thing goes with the home. Delegate some areas that this person in the relationship has authority over this. Guys, if you're not great with finances, then let your wives have the finances and submit to her authority. Wait a minute, got quiet on that one. You follow what I'm saying there? You designate as the husband. I'm the head of the home, and I've got to designate some things. You know what I have a hard time with? The inside of the house. Marie's got authority with the inside of the house, but I don't like a lot of change. And I'll come in and she'll move furniture around, changing things, and I'm like, it was good. It was fine the way it was. Why'd you change things? You know what I got to do? I gave her the authority to operate and do what she wants in the home. So why would I be fussing with her about that? You follow me on that? It's simply preference. Now, if there was something that the Spirit of God said, no, that we ought not allow that. Let's say she hung a poster or something in the wall, or maybe she hung a Bible verse and it was the wrong Bible version or something. I said, you know, I'd have a hard time with that. Obviously, we're King James, okay? I said, well, no, I wouldn't. I'd go to her and we'd make that correction. But I gave her authority in the home. Why would I be fussing with her over those things, right? And we need to understand those things. Now, in my home, I'm the one that oversees the finances, and that's how we do those things. But let's just say I was just a knucklehead with finances, and she could do all the numbers, and she could do things better, then I ought to give that role to her and allow her to teach me. Isn't that how marriage works? Yes. And instead of me going out and getting a paycheck and going, well, I got money in my pocket, let me go blow all that. No, if I've given her that authority, then we should talk about it together, and we should always talk about it. Amen. But we should be able. I should be able to submit to that a little. Amen. Well, the Bible doesn't say the husband submits to the wife. I understand that. But if you've delegated authority, you should honor that. Amen. We're pretty quiet in here. Amen. Now, sometimes, because I was an assistant pastor for a long time, and I had delegated authority given to me, and sometimes the pastor still had to say, I hear you, but that's not what we're doing. And I didn't always understand that, but I'm thankful that I had somebody watching out for me. And that's where this relationship and this issue of submission and all this, where it gets difficult, is when we disagree. Didn't it? Yeah. And if God said that the wife is to submit, and he said that multiple times, I think he means it. And it's for our protection in the home. And it's because the man's going to have to answer for that. Yes, he's going to have to answer that. Look at Ephesians now, what it says, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Just like you ought to follow God, and if God tells you to do something, you ought to do it. That's what it's saying. As unto the Lord, submit unto your husband. But watch this, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You know what that means? There's protection there. Christ delivered the church, and the husband, because she is submitting to him, his responsibility is to deliver her and protect her. Savior of the body there. Look at verse 24. All this is in the same context. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I'm not going to preach this much longer. I'm going to get off of this. You ladies are looking at me kind of funny. All right? Ha! Amen. So, but you would think it would be so strange if I was to say, I know the Bible says this, but we're not going to do that. I know the Bible says that we ought to tithe and give offerings and all that, but we're just not going to do it that way. Let's do something different. That would be crazy. Well, I know the Bible says go soul winning, we ought to be a witness, but you know, nowadays, you know the culture we live in, it's harder. So we're just not going to do that. You'd say, get a new pastor in there. Preach the Bible. Live the Bible. Excuse me. But right here it says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I think that's self-explanatory. Let's move on. Look at the husband now. Look at all these verses. Watch this now. Listen. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives. I don't know what you men have done, but I put in there, I'm kind of slow sometimes. And I put in right above husbands, I wrote my name. And right above wives, I wrote Marie. So it says, John, love your Marie. Why? Because I needed to see that. Okay. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay, he sacrificed himself for the church. He loved the church so much he gave himself for it. Okay? Real quick, we were just in Genesis 3. I don't for one instance think that Adam was dumb. I know he's made out to be that way, and the world kind of takes the husband's role and makes it sound like, well, he's just a little whipped puppy, you know, and on this little leash, and oh, he's not smart, so she's got to run the home, and all. And the devil has attacked masculinity and the husband and the head of the home and all this and entertainment and these things. But Adam was no dummy. He was perfect in the image of Christ. Amen. When Eve offered that fruit, you better believe that Adam was remembering the word of God. Thou shalt not. You better believe that he was remembering, well, I was just with him. And we were just talking and walking and talking. And I love him and he created me and look what he gave me. And she's got that fruit out. He was no dummy. He was perfect. But he's looking at his wife and he understood the consequences. And now that couple, she's going to die, and he hasn't taken the fruit yet. This is opinion. You can throw this away, but as I look at that, you understand this is my opinion now. I'm giving you what I'm seeing out of the scripture. You look at that, and I think Adam loved his wife so much, and that's why he took the fruit. And if we would grab a hold of that, I'm not telling you to sin because you love your wife, okay? That's not what I'm endorsing tonight. So take that little laughter and thought and throw it away. But what I'm saying tonight is if we understood the sacrifice of Adam, the Son of God made in perfection, that Jesus Christ would be that second Adam, you understand the Bible says that? And he sacrificed his self for his bride, the church. That picture that relates there. I think we have a lot to learn, husbands. Look what the Bible says here. Watch this. It's amazing. Look, he says he gave himself for it, verse 25. And then look what it goes into verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. What's he cleansing? The church. It's because of verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now I like preaching that. The Lord wants to cleanse us with the word of God, the church. But we're still in the context of the relationship of husband and wife. And there's a picture there. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. The word sanctify means to make holy, to set apart, to make holy. Okay, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Watch this now, husbands. We have a great responsibility because we like preaching that verse and it says, wives, submit yourselves. Oh, submit yourselves. This is what it says. But if we husbands would truly love our wives and sacrifice ourselves for them and help them, and if you've got an issue with your wife, if you focus on you and your sacrifice to her and being the husband that you're supposed to be, that will help sanctify her and cleanse her and bring her. I'm telling you, it will. The Bible teaches here, if the husband's doing what he's supposed to be doing and the wife's doing what she's supposed to be doing, then both of their needs are met and the marriage is wonderful. And the problem is, husbands, I'm preaching on us for a little bit because we need it. The problem is, when there's issues in the home, is most of the time it's our knucklehead selves. And that's the truth. If we were being the husband and the leader and fulfilling that role that God gave to us, it'd be a whole lot easier for the wife to submit to us. And that's the truth. You know why? Honestly, you know why there's strong women in this world? Because the men done wimped out and left town. Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you women, ladies here this evening, I'm not telling you that you're not at fault when you're doing wrong. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling the men that we have a responsibility. Why is it that the ladies, the mothers, and the wives are leading spiritually in our homes? You know why? Because the husbands aren't. And that's truth. And we see these scriptures and we have such a great responsibility. If you want to help and build up your wife and allow her to be what she ought to be, and you desire to see this feminine lady that the Bible teaches about, and how she's got a meek image about her and how she submits to her husband and all that, you know what the husbands need to do? We need to be better husbands. And let the Holy Spirit of God work in her instead of preaching at her every moment of the day, and pray with her and lead her spiritually and teach her the Word of God and pray with her and show her by example that we'll be the husbands we're supposed to be. That will help the wife. And that's what the Scripture's teaching here. Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives. This is the context. Those last two verses of Christ in the church is still in the context of the husband and wife. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Wow. Man, don't we love ourselves? Shoo! Brother Dave, I don't know. I mean, he's probably got himself a mirror and he probably looks in that thing and he says, "Woo! My wife is a lucky woman." Yeah. I'm teasing a little bit. Okay? I learned that because, you know, that's what my father does every day. He looks in the mirror and he goes, "Yeah, look at that." I'm teasing. Okay, I learned it from him, okay? Jethro did too. All right, moving on. Okay, but here's where I'm going with that. We love ourselves. If we're hungry, we eat. And we have a hard time telling ourselves no. Yeah. When we want something, yeah, our wallets are coming out. We'll say no to everybody else in the family. "I'm not spending money." But when we want something, we have a hard time saying no. We love ourselves, do we not? And that's the truth. And if we loved our wives the way we loved ourselves, we'd be doing what the way the Lord says here. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Listen, I know this is hitting home and it's practical and it's hitting me. I'm convicted right now. But you understand what I'm saying? This is the truth of the Word of God. Amen. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, verse 29. But nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. A husband and wife became one flesh. And if we treated her the way that we treat ourselves, we'd be doing a lot better. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Notice verse 32, the great mystery. Well, it's not a mystery of the husband and wife. They were back in Genesis chapter 2. Okay? But he says here, when I talk about the church, the mystery, well, I'm referencing the church. He specifically points that to the church. But the rest of it's all there in that context. And all of those things apply to the husband and wife because it's in the context. And that's where, if we would do well, husbands, if we go through and read that and say, "Lord, teach me through this, what does that mean for me and my home?" Now, I'm standing before you saying, I need to do better. And I think many of us need to do better. Amen. Amen. Husbands, if we would focus on us. And what I mean by that is not what's good for me and oh. I'm saying if we would focus on bettering ourselves as husbands and leading like a husband, we wouldn't have such an issue with the marriage. And our wives could then fulfill their role, because the head of the home is fulfilling his role. Amen. I don't normally have a problem making a decision, okay? But when I haven't stated what the decision is for the family and have done that early and set out some vision, that's when my wife I don't mean to confess her faults here, but I'm not trying to do that, but I'm saying when it would look like she's taking the role or she's taking the hit is when I haven't done my job. And that's the truth. We need to do our job. So this relationship between a husband and wife, It doesn't have to be so hard. It doesn't have to be such a fight all the time. Why can't a wife submit to a husband? But wait a minute, why can't a husband say, it doesn't matter what my plan was tonight. It doesn't matter how much time I have. It doesn't matter that, you know what I have a hard time with? My time and my money.
Me too.
Yeah. I have plans. I have purposes. I'm working, you know, and I got 30 minutes of free time this whole week, and I'm right here, boom, right there, and I have something I want to get done. But Marie needs this. And it's difficult sometimes to sacrifice that for your wife. And other times, listen, amen. Let's just talk about John Kidwell for a minute in the deer stand, okay? Let's talk about that for a minute. I'm teasing a little bit. Brenda's like, amen. Okay, we're having fun. Okay, but, and the money too. Well, I got this little bit of spending money and I've been saving it for a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. My wife comes to me. Well, Grant, you got two boys and a girl who want to play basketball this year. Now, how much is that going to cost me? Oh, by the way, they're going to need new shoes for that because you can't just take any shoes on the basketball court. Who is this guy preaching in here? I'm hearing voices. You understand what I'm saying? And you've been... But it's hard to say, well, I'll sacrifice this because this is what my family needs. You know, my wife wants that because her children want that. And her heart is there with her children, and she wants to see them do that. So really and honestly, I'm sacrificing for my wife. My children, they'll bounce back. They'll be fine. So the sole is flopping off the shoe. They're boys. They'll make it. But the mother in her won't like that, and she'll have a hard time with that. I've preached too long, but understand, if we would grab a hold of God's teaching here on the marriage, we could enjoy it. We can enjoy it. If you sacrifice for your wife and the wife sacrifices for her husband, the needs are met and everybody's happy. But when we get selfish, that's when the fussing comes. That's when, well, I'm just not getting my needs met. Well, it's because you're not focused and consumed with meeting hers. And that's why you're thinking about yourself. When we're depressed in the church and we're lonely and nobody's reaching out to me, nobody thinks about me, nobody's praying about me, you know why we're that way? We're looking into ourselves because we're not serving other people. And that's truth. That's Bible truth. We are to serve other people, preferring one another. Amen. When you go through something tough, get into church and don't get out of routine and serve other people. Serve Jesus as you're serving other people. And get your mind off yourself. What else are you going to do? Go home and sit in a corner and think about it. Because you're not serving other people. This is Bible, practical Bible truths that we need, folks. The scriptural teaching. Let's pray together. Lord, help us tonight. Thank you for the liberty to preach tonight, Lord, and what you brought out of the scripture. And I pray that we would, Lord, I know everybody in here is not married, but Lord, may we take practical understanding of this. Lord, these relationships, we looked at them last week, how it goes beyond that. It goes between the parent and the children. And it goes with the, Lord, with the employee and employer. And Lord, how we need to submit to different roles and we need to treat those roles correctly. And the employer needs to treat the employee correctly, just like the employee needs to treat the employer correctly. Masters and servants in the same context, in the same passage of Scripture is talked about. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, please. I pray that a husband and a wife tonight would understand the next couple verses. They really like children ought to obey their parents. And they ought to do it. It's right in the Lord. But why is good children obeying when the wife is not submitting? When the husband is not sacrificing as he follows Christ? And I pray that you'd help us. Help me, Lord, as you've convicted me. Help me to do better. Help all of us to do better. Lord, I pray that husbands would lead, that I would lead and do that lovingly, sacrificially. That a wife would understand that her children are watching her submission to the husband, and oftentimes, Lord, when there's not submission there, the children are bucking against the wife, the mother. And I pray that we'd see these relationships and understand them and do them biblically. Help us and strengthen us. We thank you. We love you. We ask the offering now. You'd bless it. And our way home, Lord, keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.